Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now this week's host, Terry Cavanaugh.
Good morning. It's 8:17. I'm Terry Cavanaugh. With me in the studios is Amanda Paul. She's the Senior Care Manager with Western Illinois Home Health Care. She's a Bachelor of Science in Social Work, and we welcome her to the program. And by the way, once we get going, if you have questions about senior concerns or caregiver issues, feel free to give us a call here at 342-9194. Amanda, good morning. Thanks for coming in bright and early.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I think it's a topic a lot of us don't maybe want to get into, especially if we have elderly parents or no seniors, but I know you deal with this on a daily basis. And I thought we might talk about some of those issues, especially like advance directives and safety concerns for seniors. I'll let you start, though, by a little bit of background. Tell us how you got into this business and a little bit about, you know, Western Illinois Home Health Care to start with.
Yeah, I got my bachelor's degree in social work at Western Illinois. And I really just thought I was going to work with children. And I got into the field and I thought, this is really not the way I want to go. So I applied for a job with Alternatives for the Older Adult, and I worked as a geriatric social worker for about 8 years there. And then I took a position at Western Illinois Home Health Care, and I've been there for 2 years, and it's just really rewarding to meet with families in their home and talk through all of these issues with them. So,
So we have a lot of issues. I know you also write a column. Maybe people have seen that in the Register Mail or in the Boomer
edition.
In
the Boomers,
Boomers, I think, is where I see your column. Mm-hmm. So tell us, you know, just off the top of your head, what is the most important question the seniors are asking you? What do you hear the most, Amanda?
Probably the most I hear is, if I need help, who pays for that? Like, does Medicare cover it? And so I think it's really important for people, just before they even need services, possibly to talk through, what does Medicare cover and what does it not cover, and who provides these services in the area, so that you have a direction and you know if it's going to cost you out of pocket, and you can kind of plan ahead for that sort of thing. I mean, Medicare is covering, you know, home health care services on a limited basis, usually about 60 days long. And so if you really need services long term, then you're looking at some different resources to pay for it, or even privately paying. And so there's different criteria in order to get some of those other services. So,
like Medicare Part D or long-term care insurance?
Like long-term care insurance. If you're a veteran, sometimes the VA will pay for some in-home services. The Department on Aging will pay for some in-home services. You have to meet a financial criteria. Mm-hmm. If you're under 60 years old with a disability, the Department of Rehab Services will help you in your home. And then a privately paying for the service, yeah. Your Medicare D is more your prescription drug coverage. Yeah. So the Medicare home services are more to treat the acute condition and get you better and get you off that service. So a lot of times there's a misconception about, oh, will Medicare pay for it forever for me if I need it? And it really doesn't. So you want to plan ahead for that.
And a lot of folks, I think, find themselves in a big conundrum, too, when that 60 days runs out. And then where is that person going to be, home or back in a skilled care facility?
Right. And the goal really is to keep people at home. And so with home care, I think it's really great because the nurse can be in their home setting and they can be teaching them and educating either them or their caregiver about what they need to do to stay at home and stay out of the hospital. And it's not to say that you can't have these services again. The doctor can reorder them if there's a new situation at the end of 60 days, or if a few months out, you know, a new issue has come up or your condition's gotten worse again, you can get them all over again. But it usually is just for about 60 days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be like 30 and 30 at a cruise each time the situation comes up?
No. It's a 60-day certification period. Yeah. And sometimes people get rehabbed and they get better before the 60 days. So they're actually discharged even earlier. Yeah. Yeah.
So then,
and that's what we want.
Yeah. And then would it start again if some situation comes up a few months later?
Yes. The whole 60 day is renewed, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we want to talk about a lot of these different things. And if you have questions for Amanda, give us a call at 342-9194. 9-4, I may not be asking everything that a senior might be thinking, hey, but what about this and what about that? Mm-hmm. But planning is huge. And I know one of your favorite topics is just meaningful conversations. And I'm thinking, yeah. Amanda, that you're thinking of like boomers having them with their elderly parents, or maybe boomers having them with their kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important for people to plan ahead. I mean, everybody wants to be in charge of their own life. And so if you've already investigated the resources in your area and know which agencies or which nursing facility you would want if it ever came to that, and then you talk to your kids about that, then they know what decisions to help you make at the time based on what you wanted and what you already knew about. I think it's really important for people to have all that pre-planned. Hopefully they never need it, but you know, then if they do, then families know which direction to go for them if needed. So
if they're choosing a home health care, is there any cost involved in just making that decision?
No. I actually met with a family not too long ago, and the daughter was in town from out of state and said, I just want to meet with you, talk about the services with mom, and if we can go ahead and get a contract on file, we won't actually start the services. But then if something would happen and a crisis would happen, I wouldn't have to go out and do all that paperwork and get it set up. It's already in place. We just have to start scheduling. So, yeah.
So the at least with your agency, there's not a cost for that initial visit or even putting a contract in place. So we know what mom or dad needs. And
exactly.
Boom, yeah. you can start that and then... process from there.
Yeah.
And Medicare covers your services again?
Medicare covers our skilled services, which is your nursing, your physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, social work, and then a Medicare certified bath aide a couple times a week to help with personal care. Then with the supportive services, we provide a homemaker or a CNA, and that really can be tailored to whatever a person needs. So, and it's usually private pay or some of those other contracts we have with Department on Aging and the VA and things like that. But those services are long-term. If you need them, you know, for the rest of your life, you've got them, and we can start out slow a couple hours a week for homemaker type service. And then as your needs change, I reassess and we tailor our care plan to make sure we're keeping you in your home. So,
We're going to pause for a moment. We're talking with Amanda Paul from Western Illinois Home Health Care here on the program this morning. If you have a question, call us at 342-9194. It's 8:27 here at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL, and we are talking this morning with Amanda Paul. Amanda is Senior Care Manager with Western Illinois Home Health Care. And there's a variety of topics and places we can go this morning, but we were talking a little bit about your services and what Medicare covers. And let's talk a little bit about advanced directives, because it's those conversations, and this falls into that meaningful conversation topic that you like so much, because you want people, families, talking to each other.
Yeah, I think families are really complicated, and so I think it's just so important for a person to have a healthcare power of attorney already designated and make sure that person knows, you know, that you've chosen them. I think it's important to have your power of attorney of property. You know, they're two separate documents and they serve two separate purposes. One's for your financials and the other's for your healthcare decisions. And then the advanced directive, it's usually embedded in the healthcare power of attorney paperwork. It can be two separate documents, but that really spells out what decisions you would want that person to make for you given certain circumstances. So,
For instance,
if you were in a coma, you know, would you want life-sustaining measures taken? If you were unable to eat, do you want a feeding tube? You know, you're able to just really spell out all of that.
Sort of the do not resuscitate.
Yeah, DNR versus having a full code for CPR, right? So it's just really important, I think, for you to know that your decisions are going to be honored and that people know what you would want. And so people can't do that and make those decisions if they don't know in advance. I think it's also important for people to have pre-planned, you know, after they're gone. So have their will in place and really have a family meeting beforehand and sit down and let everybody in the family know what decisions you made and why, as far as where your stuff goes and what music you want played at your funeral. Because my experience, families just really get in conflict over all of the small details. So
yeah, I think all of us have probably been there or heard the stories about being there, whether it's end of life decisions or whether it's who gets this and grandma said I could have that and da-da-da-da. I know at Christmas time, my mother has this wax statue of Santa, and it goes back in the box at Christmas, and she says, your name is on the box. You get that Santa. I know she's not done that with everything, but I always laugh because she goes, you get that Santa. The name is on the box. I think it was my grandmother's or something, you know, but I have to laugh. But I mean, I can remember family members on my dad's side of the family just getting into great arguments after my grandparents passed away and who got what, and it can really be sorrowful.
It can tear families apart, mm-hmm. and I don't think anybody wants that. And I mean, ultimately, they're your decisions to make, and you don't really owe an explanation to anybody, I don't think, but I just think if you feel comfortable sitting down with your family in advance and saying, you know, I want so-and-so to have this chest I think the others can process it a little bit easier than not knowing why afterwards. So
and especially as you mentioned, families are so complex these days and you want to have that conversation hopefully before something does occur. And I think probably, Amanda, what you see sometimes is situations or health circumstances have taken over and might not always be possible to have those conversations.
Yeah, I just think that you don't want to wait for a crisis, because everybody in crisis mode, you know, nothing comes out real good that way. So I just think it's better for the person who might be suffering from whatever is happening, but also for the families involved, if you just already had these talks and kind of already know. And I think families work together a little bit better when you know, there's been some pre-planning, too.
So you're talking advance directives. You're talking power of attorney, healthcare. Any others?
Your financial power of attorney, which is property. Your healthcare power of attorney. And then just having those meetings, you know, in advance. And really, I think there's a lot of decisions you can make in advance. You know, tour the local nursing facilities and know which one you like. Tour the assisted livings and know which one you like. Interview your home care agencies and know which one you like. Make sure your doctor knows that too, because he's the one writing the orders. And then you just, you know, you kind of go from there based on whatever happens and what you think you need at the time. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
What about long-term care insurance? Do you do any counseling on that? I mean, I know you're not here as an attorney or an insurance agent, but surely you come across this.
Well, I do, actually. And long-term care insurance policies are really complicated, as most insurance is. And so a lot of the people that I see have those policies and they don't know what they cover. They just assume that they cover only long-term care. Well, long-term care can be in your home as well. And so you want to know in advance if it covers some home services, because you want to be utilizing those policies if you've paid all these years on them. You also want to know where your paperwork's at. Oftentimes those policies were paid for years ago or purchased years ago, and insurance companies buy out insurance companies. So what I've ran into a lot is if you don't have your original paperwork, it's really hard to track, you know, who actually owns the insurance now. But if you do, then what I do is when I meet with you, we call together. We call together because they won't give information very easily to me on my own. And then we go through a series of questions for me to help you gather information about your policy. A lot of times those policies have what they call elimination periods, where you have to privately pay kind of like a deductible for a while for services before the policy will kick in. And a lot of times they have limitations too. So it might be a 3-year policy. So then you really want to make a decision. Does it make sense to use it, you know, maybe for a few hours in your home every day? Or do you want to save it in the case that you would actually have to go to a nursing facility? So you really still have a lot of decisions when it comes to your policy, but knowing your policy and what it covers is really important.
We'll talk more in a moment. We're going to take a break. Will Stevenson has a look at the latest news. Amanda Paul from Western Illinois Home Healthcare is our guest this morning.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now this week's host, Terry Cavanaugh.
It's 8:38 on Galesburg Live. I'm Terry Cavanaugh. Amanda Paul from Western Illinois Home Healthcare is my guest this morning. She's the senior care manager. We're talking about senior issues. If you have a question, maybe you're a caregiver or senior, and you want to give us a call, please feel free to do that at 342-9194. Before I get back to Amanda, though, I want to mention, and this kind of ties in with wellness today, Knoxville High School in the gymnasium there is hosting a wellness fair today. So you can bring your family and friends. It's fun. It's learning, free prizes, Hy-Vee dietitians. There are cholesterol screenings. There is a cost for that, and probably you should have fasted. I'm not sure, but body fat percentage testing, flu shots, and free blood pressure checks. There is a cost for the flu shots, too, and wellness-related local businesses there as well. But that's going on today until noon at Knoxville High School Gymnasium. So if you're in the area and want to take advantage of that, bring your family and friends to that wellness fair. And wellness is kind of our topic, too, this morning, Amanda, as we talk about, before the program, I was talking to Amanda, and I said, you know, it's kind of tough to define seniors because, you know, it could be somebody late 50s, early 60s, or 90-somethings.
That's right. I mean, I was just saying that I see 90-year-olds who are on no medication and in fine shape, very functional. And then you see a 60-year-old who just has a whole realm of, health problems. So it just really is too broad, I think, to actually narrow it down. Typically 60 and over, but it just depends on the needs at the time. So.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about meaningful conversations, and I kind of directed that towards advanced directives and power of attorney and things like that. But meaningful conversations mean something else to you, too. Tell us sometimes how you approach seniors and what you hope families are doing when they do have those conversations.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times caregivers, especially children, you know, loved ones, get really tied up in the day-to-day type responsibilities of helping their aging parent. So it's easy to walk in the door. Mom, did you take your medicine? What did you have for lunch today? You know, things like that. Have you eaten? Have you taken your shower? You need to take your shower. And so your time spent with them isn't as meaningful to them. And so I think it's really important for people to think about what time you are spending with your loved one and ask them meaningful questions. So I always ask people, like, what were you most proud of in your life, you know? And it generates a really important conversation, something that they haven't really reflected on for a long time. I always ask, you know, how did your husband propose to you? And for veterans, I always ask, you know, how did your military time make you the person that you are? Because, you know, especially your veterans, they have stories and they do like to reminisce about their times. And sometimes it brings tears, but usually happy tears. And I just think it's really important for families to know about their loved ones.
So, in other words, you're kind of stepping back from the formalities of what you're trying to care for and then just get back to, like, dinner table conversation,
exactly.
Things that you'd talk about if you were gathered together for a holiday or just a family meal.
Exactly. And I think it's important to have that. I mean, you have to have the questions about the medications and things like that. But I think that you'll find that maybe your loved one would be more apt to answer those questions about the medications when they know that you're asking them other things about their life, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you're not just there as their pseudo nurse
exactly.
or something. You want to know, you know, how they are or how they feel inside.
And I think it's really tough if you think about, you know, as adults, you're not children. And sometimes I think our kids can start to treat you like, you know, you're their child because the role has kind of reversed.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to really remember that people do have the right to self-determine, and they can still make poor decisions just like you or I can make poor decisions just because they've gotten older. You know, they don't lose the right to do that. And so as a caregiver, you can only do what you can do, you know, and you can encourage and you can give them the resources to make good decisions to keep them in their home and care for them. But ultimately, you know, just because they're old doesn't mean that they can't make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the topics I know that you pay close attention to is pain and managing that pain, it's probably difficult to discern for many people. Sometimes I know if you go to the doctor and you have pain, they may ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, where is that? What do you see with seniors, though?
Yeah, I think that seniors are really reluctant to tell somebody they're in pain. And I think a lot of times they're worried that it's going to send them to the doctor if they report to their daughter that they're in pain. Or, you know, maybe people are worried that they're sounding like they're a nagger or, you know, a complainer. And so oftentimes they're not just saying, oh, I'm in so much pain today. So I think it's really important for families to ask that question on a regular basis and kind of know what their baseline is for their pain. You know, the 0 to 10 scale, 10 being the highest of pain, is really the most universal pain scale, just because there's not a way to test for pain. You know, yeah. Our self-report is the most accurate report on pain.
And some people deal with it better than
exactly. So one person's 10 might be somebody else's 4. But I think it's important for you just to know that mom usually reports, oh, it's a 2 or 3. But today she says it's a 9. And so something different is going on. And you won't know that unless you actually ask that question, because mm-hmm. a lot of times they're just not going to say it. They're not going to say it to you.
Yeah, so you have to kind of...
You have to pull it out.
You have to pull it out or press the issue just a little bit.
And the doctor needs to be addressing pain. You know, a doctor might not be able to take the pain away, but there should be some sort of pain management, you know, care plan to address the pain and reduce it at some level, you know. So if you have pain at a 9 without taking a pain medication, and you do take the medication and it brings it down to a 4, then it's an effective pain management, you know, care plan. So,
yeah. Do you find that you need to have a plan just for taking medication? I know some people set things out. Other people use little drawers, depending on how many you may be taking. Like you mentioned, a 90-something might not have any, but somebody might have, depending on their situation, several.
Yeah, I recommend a medicine planner, a pill box, and I recommend it really for any amount of medications, because you can see in the pill box if it had been full, you can see if you've taken it. Because even me, I mean, I'm young enough that I think my memory's pretty good, but there have been times where I'm on an antibiotic and I can't remember if I took it this morning. Mm-hmm. But if you can see that you took it, then you don't double take. And I think that's really important, because
Do they make them for a month, or do they make them just by
make them for a month. They make them for different hours of the day, you know, a morning, noon, mm-hmm. and night, or a 4 a day. There's all kinds of medication planners. And a lot of times I see people, oh, I don't need that, you know, but it just really helps to make sure that you don't mess them up. You do not want to have a medication mess up, because it can send you to the hospital, or it can send, you know, into a new health condition. Mm-hmm. And you just really want to be careful about that.
Yeah. We're talking with Amanda Paul from Western Illinois Home Health Care. She's the senior care manager. We'll talk about a couple other senior topics this morning. We're going to take a quick break here.
Got a question for our expert? Call 342-9194 or email it to WGIL@WGIL.com. Ask the expert during Galesburg Live on WGIL.
We're talking with Amanda Paul today from Western Illinois Home Health Care. She's the senior care manager. We've been talking about issues that are of concern to seniors, but not just seniors. I mean, if you're a caregiver, if you're the son or daughter, or the maybe niece or nephew, maybe any one of the family members, or maybe it's going in the opposite, you know, direction. You want to talk to your kids about things that you want to have, you know, taken care of, as opposed to maybe something for your parents. One of the articles you wrote, though, Amanda, was on, you know, the car key situation. And I am sure that's really debatable in many households. But, you know, there probably does come a time when it, you know, you're going to have that discussion or take the car keys away.
That's right. And it is almost always the children that have to have the discussion. And it's probably the most difficult discussion you'll have with your parent, because nobody wants to lose their privileges to drive. I mean, we think about how we just jump in our car and we go where we need to go. And when you're not able to do that anymore, then you become dependent on somebody to do that for you. And that's a really tough thing as a senior, to have to rely on somebody else. And so I always tell people to do like an advanced directive with the car keys. So, for example, long before there's a reason to take the car keys, have a discussion with your parent about what would warrant you know, this conversation, Mom, what would you want me, how would you want me to handle this? And is there certain circumstances where you feel you shouldn't drive anymore? And write it down like a contract. Sometimes you can pull that piece of paper back out and say, remember, Mom, this is what we talked about. Well, I'm seeing some of these things happen now. Sometimes the doctors will say it's time, you know, and that makes it a little easier for the family. It doesn't make it easy for the person.
Right.
But not always. And so really a lot of times the kids are faced with that responsibility. I think as a senior, you know, you really need to look at what would you do if you didn't have your keys? Because a lot of the times in these rural communities, there's not a lot of resources for transportation. So if you live in the country, you know, think about if I got older and I could not drive, would I want to move to town? You can still be independent in an apartment. You know, nobody wants to move out of their home, and I completely understand that. But if it keeps you independent, you know, it might be the better decision to make. If you're a family member who's getting ready to have this conversation about getting rid of the keys, make sure you have options already researched that you can give your loved one. You know, okay, Mom, you're not going to be able to drive anymore, but I've already called Western Illinois Home Health, and they can provide a homemaker every week to take you to the grocery store, you know. So just don't leave them, you know, high and dry with nothing, with no options, because these services, you know, you have to navigate through the aging services. And so you don't want to leave your loved one with just no options.
Yeah. Who's going to get my groceries? How do I get to church?
Right.
What's going to happen, you know?
Right. And socialization and getting out is so important still as you age. You know, it's really easy to get isolated in your home and sit in your recliner all day. And you really need that physical activity. You know, it helps your blood flow through your brain. It just is really important to be able to be up and about and out and socializing. It's still important when you age. So.
Does Western Illinois Home Health Care provide are you doing little exercises with the seniors?
Yeah, you know, our physical therapists will work on a home exercise plan when they're on the Medicare services. And then if they have a homemaker that they continue to have in place, or a family member or caregiver, they're working on teaching that person to help them with those exercises and encouraging it.
Mm-hmm. Something maybe they can even do on their own.
Yes,
without anybody there that's appropriate for them.
And yeah.
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 Talk a little bit about, you know, just seniors and families talking about care that the senior doesn't want. In other words, my parent refuses to do it.
I think it's important for you to know what services are available, and I think it's important to give them options. So you don't want to just come in and say, Mom, you need this, and I've set it up for you. You know, what you need to say is, Mom, I've done a little bit of research, and here's some options for different services. Which would you choose? And really, it's about approach, I think. And call in a professional, you know, have me come out and talk about the services, because we take recommendations a lot easier from somebody who we're not emotionally connected to for some reason, you know. And or oftentimes I see mother-daughter relationships are a lot harder than mother-son relationships. Mm-hmm. So if Mom handles things from brother a lot easier, then have brother have the conversation with her. But really it's about making sure they still have a choice in the matter, and knowing what those choices are in advance before you start the conversation. But then you also have to just know that you can only do what you can do. And so I kind of go back to that right to self-determine. And we just remember that we have the right to make poor decisions. And so you might give your mom or dad or whoever all of these options, and they might still choose none. And a crisis might happen because of it. And we don't want that to happen. You want to prevent it. But sometimes it does take the crisis before a family member will actually agree to the services that might be needed, too. You hope it's not a crisis that's so bad you don't get to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a fall oftentimes makes somebody think, oh, I guess I do need this help, you know.
Yeah.
And so it can help the caregivers a little bit in that decision making process. So.
Yeah. We have to wrap up, but overall, I'm getting the distinct impression the sooner you have these conversations, the sooner you make some of these decisions or sign some contracts and papers, powers, advance directives, and powers of attorney, it may just save some you know, stress over the long run.
Yeah.
If possible.
It's just pre-planning.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And you don't know what you're pre-planning for as right. a senior, which is really mm-hmm. the hard part. But just cover your bases and know your resources and know mm-hmm. who you want to call.
So. Yeah. Speaking of which, give us a little bit more detail about Western Illinois Home Healthcare in terms of when you can call them, services that they're providing, Amanda, and when to get a hold of you or anybody at your agency.
Yeah, I think we're really unique in the area. We have a wide range of services. We've got the Medicare services that I've talked about. You know, that's your skilled nurse, your physical therapy, social work, and your bath aid. And those are services that are short term to get you better and get you off that service. And then there's supportive services also that we can put into place long term to help you with the day to day type stuff and keep you in your home. Our goal is always to keep you in your home and keep you independent. And then the professional care management services to help. Obviously, a lot of family members have moved out of the area, and so they're trying to care for people, you know, who are now out of state. And so they can call on us, and we can assess the situation at home and make recommendations, and we can attend doctor's appointments and take notes and get back to the family on what the doctor said, and just overall collaboration of care. And so it's just really unique services for the area. We can also provide some transportation when you do need to get to the grocery store and you're not able to drive anymore. So it just really does keep you connected to your community and in your home. So.
All right. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us here. Have a good weekend. Amanda Paul, Senior Care Manager with Western Illinois Home Health Care. Stay tuned for the latest news and the Handyman Show coming up at 9:06 on WGIL. I'm Terry Cavanaugh.